This is study number 18 in our camp meeting in Australia, Tananda 1992. So in our last study, we have asked the question, what comes first, the loud cry or the letter rain or the setting up of the image of the beast? And this has been always a point that was not too clear in our past considerations, but this has become much clearer now. And the key of this lies in the fact that it comes both. It comes before and after. Before, it will swell, and after, there will be a sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We shall see later in our study that the same thing also must have happened in the early rain, because the early rain is a pattern for the latter rain. So when the latter rain swells, and then there's a sudden outpouring, so it must have been in the early rain too. Now I think there's no difficulty of seeing a sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early rain. The Bible clearly says so. They were all together in one accord and suddenly, and so forth. Yeah. Well, we come back to this later. Let's first now consider together how the message of the loud cry is swelling. For this purpose, we turn to early writings, first of all, but the title now. Early writings, page 277. The headline of this chapter is the loud cry. That is the subject of our consideration. We are studying about the latter rain, but here it says the loud cry. Is there a difference between the latter rain, or what is the relationship between the latter rain and the loud cry? Do you understand? Where does the term the loud cry come from? Yeah, but it must be, it is a term that is often used, but where does it derive from? Yeah, does it talk of a loud cry there? Let's read Revelation 18, okay? Verse 1, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Here we have it. It is an angel who cried mightily with a strong voice. You could call this a loud cry. Good. It is not a physical loud cry, mind you, because it is just interesting. Sister White wrote about a fanatic who was claiming that he brought the loud cry, and he was screaming to the congregation, and he said he had a loud cry indeed, but it was not the loud cry, understandably. Nothing to do with a physical loud voice. It speaks more of the spiritual power that is behind it, therefore loud cry here, almighty, with a strong voice. Another statement that indicates that term is found in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. To this parable we shall come back later. Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. I'm reading from verse 1 onwards. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Again, it talks of a cry. And that, in Adventist terminology, is called the loud cry. Also the midnight cry, because it was at midnight. And these two things go very much together. In other words, Revelation 18, Matthew 25 are two parallel scriptures that need to be studied side by side. But we will do this in more detail later. I just wanted to show that the term loud cry talks of a message that goes forth with much spiritual power, and therefore it is called the loud cry. I saw angels hurrying to and fro. We read now from early writings, page 277. You don't have it wrong. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven, descending to the earth and again ascending to heaven, preparing for the fulfillment of some important event. Then I saw another mighty angel commissioned to descend to the earth to unite his voice with the third angel and give power and force to his message. Great power and glory were imparted to the angel, and as he descended, the earth was lightened with his glory. The light which attended this angel penetrated everywhere as he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon, the great is fallen has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The message of the fall of Babylon, as given by the second angel, is repeated with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering the churches since 1844. The work of this angel comes in at the right time to join the last great work of the third angel's message, as it swells to a loud cry. So what swells to a loud cry? The third angel's message. Right? The work of this angel comes in at the right time to join in the last great work of the third angel's message, as it swells to a loud cry. Who is this angel? It says here, the work of this angel comes in at the right time. That is the angel of Revelation 18. Okay.
So, we have the third angel's message. By the way, the third angel's message, to what verse does this apply? To what Bible verse?
14.
Verse 7.
Verse
6 and 7 is the first angel. And verse 8 is the second. And verse 9 to 12 is the third. Yeah? Look it up.
Yeah.
Well, the third angel really is a term that signifies all the three angels together. Yeah? Why is it so? Why can you say this? Well, one thing, you can't separate them. Furthermore, the third angel is the light that contains the first two, because every further light includes the light that comes before. That is the reason why the last message that is given includes all the light that was revealed before it was. In other words, it's the complete light. It's called the last message, but the last message are all the messages that have ever been revealed to this world. That is clear, isn't it? That principle. So the third angel means angel 1, 2, 3 of all the messages of Revelation 40. Okay? Yeah? So we had the first angel, the second angel, and the third angel. That is called the third angel message, and that swells. And then, just in the right time, comes the fourth angel. So, which message do we have today?
Fourth.
Really? So has this angel come already, just in the right time, as that swells with a loud cry?
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. Okay, good. There are two phases, that is true. Now we are, today, preaching the third angel's message, really, and the fourth angel is the third angel.
That sounds confusing now, doesn't it? The fourth angel is nothing but the third angel, in verity. Yeah? Sister White says so. Let's read this in Testimonies to Ministers, you say? I thought of selected messages, but I don't have it here, nor do I have Testimonies to Ministers. But I have the... thank you. Where is this thing? You use that Testimonies to Ministers. I said selected messages. You must tell me, where is it in this 51? Okay. Well, but you know the statement. Good. So she says, several people have written to me and asking if this is the third angel's message, what they are preaching. And she says, it is the third angel's message in verity.
Surety.
Surety. Okay. In verity is...
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's in here. We have a quick look. Yeah. Volume 1. Are they missing?
The first couple of pages.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's have a look. Yeah, such things should be looked up before. But because we were not quite sure about the wordings. Okay, I think we will leave it for the moment, because it's a little bit difficult now for me to find it so quickly. But the point is rather clear. When Sister White calls this message that was given in Revelation 18 the third angel's message in verity, then it is the third angel's message. Now, the point, I think we have studied this in the past already, but let's repeat this quickly again, is this. The third angel's message should have finished the work. It's a warning against the beast. Now, we know that the work has not been finished at that time when the third angel's message was preached first. When was it first preached? 1844, exactly. That is, when we make the time here,
in summer of 1844, no, in autumn 1844, it was first preached, then we have already a warning against the image of the beast. Now, was this warning a little bit early?
Because there are 100 years past and no image is erected. Let's read this together now on page 457 in The Great Controversy. A Work of Reform is the chapter. Chapter number 26. The history of ancient Israel is a striking illustration of the past experience of the Adventist body. God led his people in the Advent movement even as he led the children of Israel from Egypt. In the great disappointment, their faith was tested, as was that of the Hebrews at the Red Sea. And they still trusted to the guiding hand that had been with them in their past experience, they would have seen the salvation of God. If all who had labored unitedly in the work of 1844 had received the third angel's message and proclaimed it in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord would have wrought mightily with their efforts. A flood of light would have been shed upon the world. Years ago, the inhabitants of the earth would have been warned. The closing work completed, and Christ would have come for the redemption of his people. So there would not have been an angel of Revelation 18 then. Would there? Because that came much later. In fact, the third angel would have finished the work. But there has been a delay, obviously, as is indicated here in that statement. The Lord did not come. Therefore, the Lord gave that message on Revelation 18 to show this. It's interesting that the fourth angel is in Revelation 18 and not Revelation 14. It really belongs to in the sequence of the seven angels. But no, it is in Revelation 18, thereby showing that there is a delay in that work. Something happened which shouldn't have happened, and that was that the work was not finished in 1844. But the point we wanted to make really is this, that the message that we are carrying is the third angel's message in verity. And this message swells towards a loud cry. And then, at the right time, this angel from Revelation 18 comes to join that. And this is, as you said, another phase of that message. A phase in which the latter rain will be poured out in its fullest, we shall see. Because the movement is a movement after that. After the third three angels were preached in 1844. In other words, it's another movement, the beginning of that life which shall fill the whole earth. But the swelling or the message is the third angel's message. And that angel comes in at the right time to join, needed most. And when it's needed most, it's the time and image of the beast.
Why call a movement before that?
Because what comes in at that time will be the fullest power. Again, what Robert said is very important. There are two phases in that work. The first phase is when the third angel's message swells, and the second phase is when it comes in its fullest power. Yeah. And what we find described here is when it comes in its fullest power.
It's referred to as the fourth in the right time. I think that's the first time it comes in. The fourth angel comes in at the right time. It doesn't come in before because that wouldn't be the right time.
Yes.
But it comes in at the right time. That's not why a fourth angel movement here before it is at the right time.
Well, the people are prepared for that time. there's a people who are prepared for that time. They are separate already, and they will. Yeah, the real movement, the real power of the movement will start then. Yeah, that's right.
The people that took care of the third energy movement mistook the standard and the law and for the third engine, so it was lost. This is why the fourth angel came and redeemed the first, second and third.
Yeah. Well, I realize you have a little bit difficulties. Let's turn to Revelation 18 again and read this together. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Yes. Now, before we read further, we want to ask ourselves the question, when is this present truth?
Sunday.
Wait a moment. Before you answer, let's go back to Revelation 14, okay? Sorry to cut you short, but you can say more in a minute. In Revelation 14, we have the three angels' messages, okay? The first angel's message begins in verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Now that message is very significant. When was that present truth?
1833.
Okay. 1833. Let's begin here. William Miller really began to preach 1831, but his message took effect mostly in the year 1833, when science and nature gave rise to the soon expectancy of Christ's coming. That was 1833. That we can put at the beginning of the first angel's message. Now, was the judgment beginning in 1833? When did it begin? It began only in the 22nd of October 1844, or 23rd, 1844. That was the judgment. That is called also the investigative judgment, which is a very serious warning that determines the eternal fate of the believers. Now, why was then the message 1833 already present truth when the judgment was still in the future? Simply because it does say the hour of the judgment has come. It does not say the judgment has come. You see, when the message would say the judgment has come, it could not have been preached before 1844, could it? See the point? In other words, if the Lord sends me today into the world to say Sunday has come already and it's still Tuesday, then I'm a liar, isn't I? But the Lord can send me and say Sunday is soon coming, and that would be the truth. You see the point? So the message was the hour of the judgment is coming, and the hour means really the 11th hour before it actually starts. Let's make a quick watch. So here we have 12, the fifth more is 11, okay? So the 11th hour. That is shown before. Make yourself ready, the judgment is coming. That was the message of William Miller. It is the gospel that prepares us for the judgment, no question about this. So that was the burden of the preaching of William Miller. But now we come to the second angel's message, verse 8, and listen very careful to its wording. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So what does this message say? The event has happened. Babylon is fallen. When was this preached? 1844. Here. So when did the churches fall? 1844, in the summer of 1844, when this message was preached. You know what happened? This first angel's message was preached to those who were people of God at that time, that were the Protestant churches, Methodists, Baptists, so the different Protestant churches, especially in America, which was the country for the churches. The believers had all fled there, being persecuted in Europe. Okay, so the message was preached here, and the churches, how did they react?
they rejected. The ministry called it error and fanaticism and all kind of things, and they became so hostile that they disfellowshipped them, and all came to a climax in the summer of 1844 when the Adventists were rather perplexed.
They were saying, well, if the churches the churches of God, which were the churches of God, rejected, where shall we stand then? What are we? And then, just in the right moment, God gave them the message, they are fallen, they are Babylon. And that was the answer to their problem. And now they knew, they understood why the things happened. It was prophetically foretold. And now they could go and preach, Babylon is fallen. Very clear. Very timely message. In other words, God gives the messages in exactly the right time, when they are needed. So likewise, as we have read with the fourth angel, isn't it? He comes just at the right time. But we will see what this means soon. So the... Yeah?
Yeah. If the third angel would have finished and that there would have been no need for the fourth, where would it come in clearly at the sixth?
Yeah, they still would have been there.
Wouldn't have been written in the Word.
Pardon?
If that was the case to happen, it wouldn't have been written in the Word.
Yeah.
They would come, because they come after the time of probation.
As Rudy was saying, if the work had been finished by the third angel, therefore no need of the fourth, if that was the case of how it was to be, would not have been...
The fourth, but the fifth, fourth, sixth, and seventh,
no,
yes.
The fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, where did they come in?
Big confusion. Okay.
It's just a curious question, because...
Yeah, well, it interrupts us a little bit, Rudy. Maybe I'll put your question in the back, okay?
Yes, yeah, sure.
We can come from question to question. Let's first finish that part, and then we come to the other. I'm thankful for question. No question. No problem. So, again, AD 33 was the message, the hour of the judgment is come, and AD 44 says Babylon is fallen, and that showed that the event had happened already. Then the third angel is just a warning of the image of the beast, and then we come to the angel in Revelation 18. And now listen carefully to the wording and tell me when this message must be present truth. Okay, I leave this answer to you now. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice come from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So when is this present truth?
That was the image.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the corruption was full maturity.
Good, that's the same thing. So that will be when the image of the beast is set up. I think we understand this very clearly. That is when the churches will have made full their cup of apostasy. This is confirmed in the Great Controversy.
So that means that even if the work would have been finished back in 1844, all those angels would have done their work.
Oh, yes,
we would have all
been there. Wait a moment. I come to this later. So, page 389, in the Great Controversy now. The second angel's message of Revelation 14 was first preached in the summer of 1844, and it then had a more direct application to the churches of the United States, where the warning of the judgment had been most widely proclaimed and most generally rejected, and where the declension in the churches had been most rapid. But the message of the second angel did not reach its complete fulfillment in 1844. The churches then experienced a moral fall in consequence of their refusal of the light of the Advent message, but that fall was not complete. As they have continued to reject the special truths for this time, they have fallen lower and lower. Not yet, however, can it be said that Babylon is fallen, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She has not yet made all nations do this. The spirit of world conforming and indifference to the testing truths for our time exists and has been gaining ground in churches of the Protestant faith in all the countries of Christendom. And these churches are included in the solemn and terrible denunciation of the second angel. but the work of apostasy has not yet reached its culmination. Then, on page 605, in the same book, rather beginning on 603, Sister White quotes Revelation 18, verse 1, 2, and 4, and then says, "In this scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon, as made by the second angel of Revelation 14, is to be repeated with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering in various organizations that constitute Babylon since that message was first given in the summer of 1844. A terrible condition of religious world is here described." So Sister White says it points forward to the future. By the way, the last edition of the Great Controversy is 1911. So that was the future at that time. 1911.
It's clear? Come together like that.
Yeah.
When they fall louder and louder and louder.
That's right. Yeah. And now it says...
You see, the point is this. The churches
have fallen
since 1844. While the message goes up, the churches have fallen lower and lower. And they reach their lowest point when the image of the beast is... Mm. That is when the cup of iniquity is made full. That is when they really have their opposition to God's truth at a climb. And that then will be the situation. And the fourth, or this message of Revelation 18, can be present truth then only when this happens. You see?
The message does not say the hour of the fall of Babylon has come, but it says, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils. So it must be preached when?
When
it is fallen. Otherwise it couldn't be preached. On the other hand, and now listen to verse 1, we read the following. "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power." Now what is the power that he has? That is the gospel, exactly. "And the earth was lightened with his glory." What is the glory? It is the character of God. So that message comes to the earth. Now, can we say that this has already a fulfillment, at least a partial fulfillment? Certainly. We have the angel who came down with great power, first in 1888, but it did not materialize back there. The angel went back to heaven. And now, through this message that we have received, we can really say he came down with great power and the earth is beginning to be lightened with his glory, which is the character of that people who receive the rebirth experience. So we can say that partly this is fulfilled already, partly. But it is really present truth only when the image of the beast is set up. That is simply the answer. In other words, we have first a preparation of God's people who are more and more filled with that great power of the angel who comes down from heaven, who are more and more filled with the glory which is the character of God, and then, when they are prepared, then they will cry mightily with a strong voice saying, "Babylon the Great is fallen." And that will be just at the right time. And when is the right time?
Exactly when the image of the beast is set up. Then is the right time for that message to be given, which is found in Revelation 18, verse 2. So is this point
clear?
What?
Yeah, the last edition of the Great Controversy was 1911. Oh, and Sister White says that this scripture points forward to a time. In other words, the complete fall of Babylon is not there yet. It is there when the image of the beast is set up. And then that message applies fully, especially verse 2 and 3, and also verse 4, which says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." That will be a very urgent call to the churches, very urgent to the people of God in their churches to quickly come out, because if they don't do it then they will be partakers of the plagues.
But those people that will be those churches, are they partaking of the corruption of, or they are just, are they partaking of the corruption of those churches? No. they are trying to purify themselves by faith.
Exactly. Yeah. They're God's people in there.
They are God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said corruption is the death of church, if you read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these people come out, come be corrupted, you know. They will have certain.
Yeah.
These faithful people in other churches, they can see the corruption, but they probably come and go in until when the Lord's cry comes.
So, we did not really come where I wanted to come this evening.
Sorry.
but, so that I know that it is worthwhile, do you understand it now?
Yeah.
Is this clear, this point? Yeah? So, the fourth angel really has come already in a certain sense, but it will really come at its right time, and that is when the image of the beast is set up. So both is true. And now we come to the other point again, to the lettering. It will come before the image of the beast is set up, and it will come after. Both is before the message will swell. And again, let us remind ourselves of the statement now which we just read. The message will swell to a loud cry. Then the fourth angel comes in just at the right time. Swelling means increasing. That's right. Getting more and more, getting stronger and stronger. Let's read now some other statements that confirm this fact. In other words, the latter rain is not something, and that is an important point now, which we must really understand, and I believe that is really new light. The latter rain does not come in such a way that we are rather sleepy and have nothing and are very dry and suddenly we receive everything. That's right. I always had the picture in my mind. Maybe you saw it different. That could be. But I always had the picture in my mind of the 10 sleeping virgins. They slumbered and slept. And I thought, well, if I'm sleepy today, I can't help it. That's the prophecy. And but I know when the latter rain comes, it will wake me up. That was always my opinion. But now I have a total different picture of the whole matter. It remains to be clarified what the sleeping and slumbering then means, doesn't it? We will study this later. But my picture now is rather that we receive increasingly more and more of the Holy Spirit towards the loud cry. So we just can't afford to spiritually slumber and sleep. If we would do this, we would be part of the foolish virgins. So, let us now. We will come back to this. Please, wait a little.
Is this swelling?
Yes, just say.
A work of pleasing that Jesus does daily into our heart and increases in us. His power and His presence, because with this swelling, it has to be that we are knowing every sin that is hidden in our heart, in our life, and daily we confess it, we put Christ, we are pleased, and we go from power to power, is it?
Yeah. Well, sorry, the time is almost running out. We come to this all. I understand your questions now. You are on the verge of your chairs and want to know more. But I want to ask you to please have a little bit patience. And then at the end, when we are finished with our study, this will be clarified. Let's read now page 53 in Acts of the Apostles. And today God is still using His church to make known His purpose in the earth. Today the heralds of the cross are going from city to city and from land to land, preparing the way for the second advent of Christ. The standard of God's law is being exalted. The Spirit of the Almighty is moving upon men's hearts, and those who respond to its influence become witnesses for God and His truth. In many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has made plain to them the way of salvation through Christ. And as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they receive more and still more of the Spirit's power. Thus, the earth is to be lightened with the glory of God. Now, where does this statement come from? The earth is to be lightened with the glory of God. Revelation 18:1, very clear. How is it to be lightened with the glory of God? As they receive more and more of the Spirit's power. That again shows very clearly there is a swelling, an increase of the Holy Spirit's power. 54 exactly on Acts of the Apostles. And now, in the last minute, one more statement from Christ's Object Lessons. Here. That is from the last chapter, To Meet the Bridegroom. We come back to this chapter later. Page 407 and 408 we read. Oh no, not here, sorry. Page 413, 414 we read. We cannot be ready to meet the Lord by waking when the cry is heard, Behold the bridegroom, and then gathering up our empty lamps to have them replenished. In other words, we can't sleep now and expect to wake only then. We cannot keep Christ apart from our lives here and yet be fitted for companionship in heaven. In the parable, the wise virgins had all in their vessels with their lamps, the wise virgins. Their light burned with undimmed flame through the night of watching. It helped to swell the illumination for the bridegroom's honor. So what happened while the wise virgins were waiting for the bridegroom? Were they waiting inactive?
No.
It says here, it helped, they had their burned with undimmed flame through the night, and it helped to swell the way for the bridegroom's honor. Again, the word swell is in here. In other words, the light when increased, even while they were waiting, even in the tarrying time. And that is a very interesting statement, showing again that there's an increase of the impartation of the Holy Spirit prior to that time when the image of the beast is set up. We have now at least three scriptures, no? I could present three more if you like, but the time is over. But the point is clear, yeah? The Holy Spirit will be received before the time. And if we miss that, we have no part in that, that is clear.
Actually, if we can't make it, we have, you know, more and more light, as you call it.
Yeah.